Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Searching for a cheap copyright attorney, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, a genetically superior Medicare podcast. And now, he might have joined Toastmasters if he weren't so bashful, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are always so happy to have you joining us, and I'm particularly happy because I get to talk to you about some Medicare confusion that illustrates the reason why you should never call me a Medicare expert. Perhaps Medicare specialist is more accurate, but it's not rising to the level of expert, at least not today. So what I'm going to do is introduce myself. If you don't know who I am, if my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, did not tell you who I am, my name is Doug Jones. I'm your Medicare specialist for today. And I want to help you get through the Medicare portal into the land of Medicare, where you can and frolic and enjoy the rest of your life in happiness and bliss. And the way that you're going to be able to do that is to follow the rules, the many, many rules and regulations that the government has set up for Medicare, and to action, to take the right actions at the right time, to perform your duties as indicated by the regulations. And how might you learn how to do that properly? Well, you might read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to BarnesandNoble.com or to Amazon.com and put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 into the search window, you will find a plethora, especially at Amazon, you'll find a plethora of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 editions. You've got the paperback, the old tried and true paperback that everybody seems to love. That's an $8 item. You've got the Kindle or ebook version, which is in the order of $3.80. It's very, very reasonably priced. If you want to listen to my dulcet tones reading that book, then you're going to be able to buy the Audible book. That audible tone just reminded me of the name of the book. It's the audible book is the version that you can listen to. And I like to think of it as me doing all of the work with you laying back and just allowing the knowledge, the Medicare knowledge, to wash over you. And if you have a friend or loved one that's approaching a birthday, say maybe a 40th birthday or a 50th birthday, or even their 65th, or if they're approaching retirement, this would also serve the same function. It is a hardback version of my book, hardcover version, that is suitable for gifting. And it's a little pricier, but that's because it's such a quality item. So I would suggest that for any sort of holiday, birthday, Christmas, St. Swithin's Day. That came from the old Bob Newhart show. So your expenditure of $22 for a hardcover version of my book is going to leave a lasting legacy for the person that you give it to. They'll be able to pass it down to future generations. And frankly, they'll always think of you fondly when they look at that book on their shelf. In any event, that is the recommendation I have for you. Buy my book. It will teach you the basics about Medicare, what you need to do to stay in sync with the regulations and with the timing, the proper timing of your Medicare enrollment. And then you can always contact me. The book will have my email address, and I am ready and waiting to have you contact me, and I will help you cross that threshold into the land of Medicare. So what do we have on the docket today? We have some frightening, frightening stuff. At least it's frightening to a Medicare specialist like me. And the person who's going to help me deliver it to you is waiting to be introduced. He's standing in the curtains at the side of the stage, and I'm going to call him out right now. Randy Carson, come out and join us, will you please?
Good morning, Mr. Jones. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm transfixed by the blue Arizona sky that's showing out my window. I'm pretty excited about the fact that we're back in warm weather again after the lousy winter we had.
Absolutely. I'm looking at all my gauges here, and it's 83 degrees. So, you know, I'm a happy camper. If it's anything below 60, as you know, I whine. And it's not good because it really makes for a long day.
Well, we've had to destroy a lot of episodes where you just couldn't control your whining.
I know.
Back in the wintertime. Actually, a month ago, it was pretty cold and miserable. So anyway, thank you for enjoying the beautiful spring weather with me, Randy. I'm looking forward to summer because we're going to drive back to Illinois for a couple of weeks, and then I get to come back and enjoy the rest of the Arizona summer here.
I was just a little bit disappointed this morning when I turned on all my equipment. I don't know if those of you in the audience may be familiar with Zoom. Well, there's a setting on Zoom, especially on the video side, that says touch up my appearance, and it just come back and said no help known. What does that mean?
Huh, boy. You know, I would understand your question better if you hadn't cut out several times during the asking of the question.
Well, let me repeat it. I turned on the touch up my appearance button on Zoom.
It came back and said,
I've got no help for you, buddy.
Well, I think that's an extra cost option, and you probably didn't pay up the extra cost. Is that possible?
It's entirely possible.
Well,
it didn't want to help. It didn't want to help me out at all. But I would like to say that you are looking particularly bright and bushy-tailed today because the video on your side of the world is coming. It is so crisp. I can literally see the hairs on your face.
Well, the hairs up my nose are the hairs you should not be looking at. And frankly, I'm thinking you might want to go to the eye doctor and have that prescription evaluated again, because I'm guessing that what you're seeing is a figment of your imagination, and you need to clarify your vision in order to be to get a more truthful view of what's going on over here. I don't think that I'm getting any better looking. You're concerned about Zoom creating a clearer, nicer picture of you on Zoom. I don't think it's possible for that to happen for me. So at least you haven't turned off your equipment in disgust, and we can proceed with the content that I picked out for today. How does that sound?
It could be my glasses, though, I will tell you. Not that you've changed in appearance, but I got up this morning, and you know how the little boy at school always used to say, I didn't bring my homework because my dog ate it?
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I don't have my latest and greatest glasses because my dog ate them last night.
These look like the same glasses you always wear. Am I mistaken about that?
I've got these by the semi-load. So I just I just reach in the bucket and I pull out another one. And this is now my new favorite pair.
Okay.
Although I don't know how many more pairs I have, I may need to go to Costco and stock up again.
And buy a bucket full of glasses.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't needed to do that for a while because I accidentally bought a pair that when I sit on them, they don't break. Usually that was my excuse for getting a new bucket full of glasses, because I would sit on the damn things or crawl under a car with them or whatever, and they would I'd hear a snap, and there goes another pair of my favorite glasses. But I've had this pair for a couple of years now, and I've sat on them countless times, and they have not broken. So I may be stuck with these things the rest of my life.
Well, I didn't know those were dime store glasses, but they look like the real deal.
Well, they're your typical, I don't know, 2.5s or 2.8s or 3 point something or others. And they're doing the job okay, so I just continue to wear them. So anyway, we have a confession. I have a confession. You don't have any confessions. I have a confession to make that two episodes recently of clients that we have been kind of blown up in my face after they've gotten to the insurance company. And so I'm going to be confessing my ignorance of two different situations that I cannot explain. I cannot understand. I cannot justify, and I cannot fix. So these are two different clients of mine that have come my way recently. The first one is an ex-con in California. And he, I've been mentioning him once or twice in the past few weeks because he was getting released. But while he was in the joint, he read my book and he said, well, I'm going to be way over 65, so I'm going to need Medicare. I'm going to need a Medicare supplement, and I'm going to need a drug plan and maybe a dental vision and hearing plan. So he said, where better to go than the author of the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man? So he contacted me. Actually, he had one of his relatives contact me before he was released. And they laid out the parameters. Here's what he needs. Here's when he's getting out. And are you willing to assist him in crossing that Medicare threshold that I'm always talking about? And I said, yes, I am, because I assume he's paid his debt to society and he didn't do anything to me. And so I'm going to assume that he's a new man, a changed man from the poor wretch that was originally sent off to penitentiary. So I have been helping him. And I got him a Medicare supplement plan that fit his criteria. He did not want to get my favorite plan, which is the high value plan, the high deductible, high value G plan, because even though it's very, very cost effective, he has some immediate medical needs that have to be attended to. And so he's saying, I don't want to have to pony up money out of my pocket, even though the premium is so attractive for the high value, high deductible plan. So I want to go with the regular full blown plan G. And so I got him that plan from a very well-known company, and everything there is copacetic. He and I are currently in the process of discussing which of the many dental programs he would like to purchase. And my last question to him was, do you need dental and vision? Do you need dental only, or do you need dental, vision, and hearing? I know for a fact that he doesn't have a favorite dentist because he's been in the joint for quite some time. So that is not a complicating factor, but we are now discussing whether or not one of these dental plans is going to be better than all the others for him. But here's the screwy thing that happened, the confusing thing. I did with this client, like I do with all clients, I asked him for a list of the drugs that he takes, how often he takes them, what dosage he takes. And I didn't ask him where he likes to go to fill his prescriptions, because I knew that when the state of California released him on parole, they were going to decide where he was going to go. So I just took a bunch of random chain drugstores. I plugged all of this into the Medicare.gov database for prescription drug plans. And I came up with a WellCare plan that fit his needs very well. It paid most of the cost of his prescription drugs, and it will be, it will hold him in good stead until the end of this year when we can do the test again. If he gets a notification in his ANOC, his annual notice of change, that his plan is changing, maybe it's getting more expensive, or it could be getting less expensive. That annual notice of change is supposed to tell him whether there's going to be anything happening with his plan, and then also whether his drugs are going to be continued in his formulary or in the plan formulary, or whether they're going to be removed and he's got to go look for a new plan. So all of that will be available in his annual notice of change, which I believe was written by lawyers who like to torture people who are just average citizens. But I think we're well set for the drug plan. So I sent him the application pages. He signed in the appropriate spots. He sent them back to me, and I faxed that application into the drug plan insurance company. And I could never find that it arrived there. I could never find that it was adjudicated by CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the people that are too dumb to be able to figure out how to properly spell their acronym. It should be CMMS. But anyway, they never were able to tell me that CMS agreed that he was eligible for drug coverage. And so I got a letter from him recently, and he said, "I don't understand what's happened." So here are my questions. First of all, for some reason, he said, "I'm getting a huge amount of Social Security retirement benefit. I don't understand why, but I'm getting a ton of money. And considering what I've been up to for the last 17 years, I don't think this is calculated properly." So he said, "I'm very concerned that I'm actually going to be the recipient of an error, and I don't want anybody coming after me later and saying that I wasn't completely honest. So what do you think I should do?" And then the next thing he said was, he got a letter from, I don't know what this is, LINET. He might have had a typo there or something, but at that letter, in essence, stated that he has a member ID of so-and-so number, saying that he's qualified for Medicare's limited income NET program. I've never heard of such a thing. And this helps him pay for prescriptions through May 31st. And this gentleman is saying to me, "But I don't think I should qualify." So I've never heard of that organization, but that's going to pay for his prescriptions until the end of May. Then he got a letter from the one of the insurance companies saying that his new ID, his new prescription ID number is so-and-so, and that he Medicare is enrolling him in the Aetna SilverScript plan, and his coverage for that plan begins on June 1st. Well, that's not the plan that I sent in the application for. I enrolled him in a plan with a different company. What it looks like to me is that the government has swooped in, usurped the application that I sent in on his behalf to a different company. That company, WellCare, sent the request to CMS, those dopes, to find out if he was eligible for enrollment in a Medicare drug plan. And it sounds like they snatched it away and said, "We're going to take away his WellCare plan and give him an Aetna SilverScript plan." I don't know why this would happen. And it goes on to say, the letter that he got goes on to say that this is happening because he qualifies for extra help with his prescription costs. Well, extra help is a legitimate term for welfare. Basically, in certain circumstances, people are allowed to have a discount or some welfare support for their drug plans and the cost of their prescriptions. But this letter was not requested. Nobody asked for it. It just happened automatically. And so basically, he will be paying $0 for a prescription drug plan premium and no deductible, and $0 when he fills a prescription with their plan. So he said it sounds too good to be true. And further, given his income, should be quite unlikely. He does have a, he's got a, that, all that Social Security money, which is confusing to him. Plus, he has a pension payment from a prior career that he had. So he says, "Don't I have a new drug plan through you? I'd much rather be safe than sorry, and I'd rather be completely honest. What do you have to say about this?" Well, all of this is completely confusing to me. When I sent in an application for WellCare, which is owned by CVS, I believe, I never expected that it would be snatched away in the middle of the processing, and that he would have a different plan conferred upon him. That would be a an Aetna SilverScript plan, and that furthermore, he would be given extra help. Now, maybe it's only because of his status as a paroled convict, because I'm guessing that he has more income than most parolees have. And if nobody checked his source of income, then they could assume very easily that he is completely broke and needs this extra help. But it disturbs me that somebody is handing out taxpayer money to people who don't need it. And it disturbs my client to think that he might someday be accused of welfare fraud. In other words, of fraudulently requesting extra help, and also that he was somehow trying to scam the taxpayers. He doesn't want to have that appearance of impropriety, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to either. So he's asking me how I would fix this. The best I could do was, hey, send me copies of the letters that you got, and I will see if I can figure out what happened. I'll do some detective work. I can't guarantee success, but that's the best I can offer you. So that's one unusual and a kind of scary Big Brother-ish event that happened. This one is easier to explain, but yet it was a complete mystery to me when it happened. I have a brand new client in the Midwest. He is retiring after, he's almost age 70. He's retiring after many years at the same job. And he has a checkered medical history. So he did not want to take the high deductible Medicare supplement, the high value plan, which I always suggest to people as being a really good deal. He wanted to take the regular Plan G because he's losing his insurance coverage from his employer because he's retiring. My assumption has always been that that gives him a special enrollment period, an SEP, with guaranteed issue for the plan, the Medicare supplement plan that he wants. And that's just fine with him because if you gave him a health questionnaire, he would probably flunk. And then he would have big trouble trying to get coverage to supplement Medicare. So I sent his application in with the indication of what date he was going to request the coverage start and what date he was leaving his employer and the employer plan. And then I got a letter back right away. Now, this went to Mutual of Omaha, which is a fine company, and they are Johnny on the spot when it comes to handling new applications that come in the door. And so here's their letter to me, the agent, about my client. Thank you for submitting the application listed above. In order to process your request, corrections will need to be made to the following forms. It says Plan G, the plan that I promised this gentleman, is not available for guaranteed issue. Whoa, what the heck is that all about? Now, remember, Plan F used to be the universal Cadillac of all Medicare supplement plans up until 2020. And then the Congress passed a law that said, starting in 2020, people becoming eligible for Medicare must have a Medicare supplement plan, if they're going to buy a Medicare supplement, that forces them to meet a small front-end deductible before the plan will start paying benefits. That small front-end deductible is $226 this year. And so the that became Plan G. Prior to that, Plan F was the Cadillac because it paid everything. If you had Plan F, you paid a ton of money for the cost of the plan, but you did not have any cost sharing after that. The plan took care of everything for you. It was like a big security blanket. Well, Plan F is no longer available to people who are under a certain age. And so Plan F is getting to be more and more expensive because younger, healthier people are not enrolling in Plan F anymore. The people that are on Plan F are the older people. They're getting older and they're sicker on the average than the original Plan F recipients would be. And they're certainly sicker than the Plan G enrollees are. And so I told this gentleman, Plan G is your best bet because in most places, Plan F is hugely more expensive and it's going to go up faster. then the rates for Plan G will increase. And that's true. So here is Mutual of Omaha saying Plan G is not guaranteed issue for this gentleman. Why is that? Because Part A of Medicare was, he applied and was granted Part A of Medicare before 2020. Now go figure. Whoever knew that that was going to be a thing? I certainly didn't. So the fact that he applied for plan Part A of Medicare, and actually Part A and B, because he's been paying for premiums for Part B for a long time, for really for no reason. But his limits or his options are limited, and now his only guaranteed issue plan available is Plan F. When I saw that, my heart stopped. I thought, oh boy, I made a mistake in not knowing this. He would have expected me to understand all of this going in. I gave him bad advice. And now his only option with Mutual of Omaha is going to be a Plan F, which is probably hugely expensive. Well, fortunately for me and fortunately for my client, the premium cost for Plan F is not that much greater than the premium cost for Plan G. So when I explained to my client that I was unaware of a situation that's causing him to accept a more expensive health insurance plan, this would be Plan F instead of Plan G, it's only going to cost him about $10 a month more. So I believe that he is not going to be unhappy about this. In fact, he may even be happy because Plan F will not expose him to that small Part B of Medicare outpatient deductible of $226. So he'll probably say, okay, I forgive you, but I still am confused. So this letter that Mutual of Omaha sent me says Plan G is not available for guaranteed issue. Plans A, which sucks, and F are available on a guaranteed issue basis. Please have the client correct and initial the plan type on page one of the application. The premium amount on page one of the method of payment form will need to be corrected and initialed by the applicant as well. So if he wishes to apply for Plan G, the health, medications, height, weight, and tobacco information must be inputted, with the client signing and dating the bottom of each page. Well, we're not going to do that because this guy is not as healthy as he would like to be. He takes a lot of meds, and he has had some health history. So I think what we're going to do is when I explain my problem to him, and when I give him my mea culpa, that he's going to say, let's just go with Plan F. It's slightly more expensive. It's slightly better protection. And I'm going to say, dodged a bullet on that one. Because really, this is a confusing situation. The whole thing brought about by the fact that he has had Part A of Medicare since before 2020. Does that make any sense to you? It certainly didn't make any sense to me, but that's an example of some of these wacky regulations that we have to deal with. So with that, I'm going to lay down my paper and apologize to my client after I ask Randy to help me close the episode out. Randy, I'm hanging my head in shame.
Oh, my gosh. Now, well, all I would point out there, Doug, is this is exactly the reason that you're doing what you're doing. The normal human being alive in the United States could never figure this out. So I really think that this is actually a good example of why people need to do business with you anyway. But I understand the situation, but who knew? I mean, good Lord, what would happen if he had, you know, Plan A or, you know, way back in, you know, the dark ages. So all he could get was Plan F. Who knew? Where does that ever come up? Did you ever see that documented anywhere?
No, this is such an esoteric thing I've never, ever understood. They have made reference to the fact that in certain cases, certain plans are not eligible for guaranteed issue, but I have never really run into that in action before. I've never had somebody slap me down and say, you blew it, and here's why, and you got to fix it. Never before has that happened. So it's just like what happened to Roy a few weeks ago. It's like stepping on a scorpion when you get up for a drink of water in the middle of the night. And it's something I'll never forget because I feel like I've been stung by a venomous insect with this problem. And I thank my lucky stars that the normal relationship in cost between Plan F and Plan G is not very big. And I don't think my client is going to be too upset with this. I think he's going to be, frankly, happy to have Plan F.
Well, yeah, it sounds to me like this was actually going to work out, you know, like a benefit. I mean, I can't imagine that he's going to be upset over $10. But, you know, as I know, the smaller the scorpion, yes, the worse it is.
Oh, ouch. Roy went to the emergency room because of that blood platelet thing he's got. And the pain, the numbness, the throbbing, he and his wife went and sat in the emergency room for hours and hours just to make sure he wasn't going to drop dead. So that's the kind of thing I want to avoid in the future because you never know whether the next client that I make this mistake with is going to be less forgiving.
Well, I can't. Him and one other guy in the United States, I think, fall into this situation. So I don't think you're going to run into it every day of the week. But anyway, we need to sign off because guess how much money we have spent?
Well, I bet it's more than 20 or 75 cents.
We're now closing in on a dollar. So we need to close it off today.
I can't afford this. I cannot afford this, Randy.
We just don't have the money today. So let's go ahead and sign it off. But before we do, Doug talked about the books. Doug talked about all the different ways and all the media, different types of media that you could get copies of Medicare for the Lazy Man book on. But one thing that we always like to ask you is if you can find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the book, it would be really appreciated because we are in the midst of the rating wars every day of our life. And we want to stay in the hunt, as they used to say. So that would be very much appreciated. But right now, let's go ahead and sign it off. We thank you for joining us. And we are going to really appreciate today at all the information that Doug shared with us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy, hanging out in his fortress of solitude at about 12,553 feet today.
Thank you, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.